Hi, my name is Paul Baines. I'm Professor of Political Marketing at Cranfield University and co-author with Chris Phil, Sarah Rosengren and Paolo Antonetti of Fundamentals of Marketing by Oxford University Press. Chapter 5, Market Segmentation and Positioning. In this chapter, we'll be looking at a number of different concepts around market segmentation and positioning. We'll describe the principles of market segmentation, and the segmentation, targeting and positioning process. We'll list the characteristics and differences between market segmentation and product differentiation. We'll explain consumer and business-to-business market forms of segmentation. We'll describe different targeting strategies. We'll discuss the concept of positioning. And finally, we'll consider how perceptual maps are used to assist in the positioning process. Before we start, though, let's talk about about the segmentation, targeting, positioning process. Segmentation, targeting, and positioning is a core component of the strategic marketing process. Some regard it as a cornerstone of marketing, in fact. And the STP process is used because of the prevalence of mature markets and the existence of a diversity of customer needs. So market segmentation is really all about dividing heterogeneous markets, that's markets with lots of customer, different customer desires, into homogeneous segments, which are groups of people who share or are like-minded around certain dimensions. So market segmentation is about identifying similar groups of customers. So for example, that might be male or female consumers of skincare products, say aged between 18 to 25, 26 to 35, 36 to 45, 46 to 65, 65 plus, for example. The target market will be then identifying which groups of customers to aim for. So within those segments that I've just mentioned, perhaps you'd target female consumers aged 18 to 25. And then positioning is creating a concept to appeal to that target market. Which is, for example, in the example of segment I've just given that we're targeting female consumers aged 18 to 25, then you might position skincare products as essential for self-respect. So market segmentation is the mechanism of breaking markets, diverse markets, up into homogeneous segments. Target market is then selecting whichever of those segments you want to appeal to because it fits your product more. It might be more than one segment. And then positioning is how you go about making that that proposition appeal to the target market in the first place. In other words, that's the advertising promotion process that seeks to put a positive mental image into the mind of the prospect. The key benefits of the segmentation, targeting, and positioning process are that it enhances a company's competitive position, it provides direction and focus for marketing strategies, it allows an organization to identify market growth opportunities by identifying new customers and growth segments, or sometimes different proposition uses. So when Lucozade repositioned itself away from an offering for sick people towards an energy drink, that's an example of a repositioning and the identification of a market growth opportunity. And it also allows for the effective and efficient matching of company resources to targeted market segments. So market segmentation was first developed by Wendell Smith in 1956. And Wendell Smith came up with it as an alternative, actually, to a concept known as product differentiation. And product differentiation is really where you just come up with, you just change your product slightly and release different versions of that particular product whilst keeping the original product on the market. So, for example, you might have, if you think of Lucozade, the energy drink, then there are different forms, different flavours. There's also light versions. Or if you think of Coca-Cola, maybe that's more common, then you might think of the Coca-Cola Diet Coke, Coke Zero, Original Coke, plus Coke Life, for example. Those are different variants. So product differentiation is where you just come up with new products without really thinking about how they might impact on the market. However, if you do research in the marketplace about different products and how different products might appeal to the market, then that's market segmentation. So the difference is that if you come up with a new offering, and then promote it into the marketplace without really researching how it might appeal to the market, then that's really product differentiation. If you look at the segment, find out what it needs, or segments, find out the different promotion, product, place, price that they actually want, the different marketing mixes that they actually want, and then develop your offering, then that's a market segmentation approach. So that's how you should understand the difference between between the two. We sometimes talk about different methods of determining market segmentation, but let's first of all consider market segmentation in customer markets. The key ways in which we might break up customer markets, consumer markets rather, sorry, is by looking at whether to break them up into behavioral, psychological, or profile bases. So we, for behavioral, for example, we might look at purchase transaction, usage, how people use products, whether they're heavy users or light users or medium users, how they use media, because it makes it easier to target them if we know about their media use, how they use technology, we might be interested in that, especially for high technology products. So behavioral aspects are the who, how, where, and when criteria, if you like. We're also interested in psychological criteria. We might break up segments based on psychological aspects, things like lifestyle, personality, whether they're introvert or extrovert, the perceptions that they have for a particular product, their attitudes towards those products, what motives they have for purchasing a product. So for example, if we're talking about exercise participation, then different motives might relate to whether people are doing exercise for aesthetic reasons, to look good, for example, to look slim and or muscular or whatever, or to feel better about themselves, or to master a particular sport, for example, shooting or basketball or whatever it is. And benefits sought. So benefits sought is another psychological consumer criteria, if you like, for breaking up markets. Benefits sought for toothpaste, for example, might be generally clean your teeth, but it could also be to whiten your teeth, or to keep your breath fresh, or whatever. You might have one reason or multiple reasons for why you buy toothpaste, and of course the toothpaste manufacturers seek to align their products to those specific benefits sought. Profile, standard profile bases, as they're called, tend to be demographic, socioeconomic, in other words, people's jobs, or how much they earn, and the geographic region. And that's the psychological is the why and the who, and the profile is the who and the where. So these are the three main types of segmentation for a consumer criterion, for consumers: behavioral, psychological, and profile. Sometimes what you would see is an initial cut of the consumers, say according to one of these, let's say it's motives for our exercise participants, and then you would see each segment, each of these different motive segments, profiled via demography, socioeconomics, or geography, or sometimes you'd see them profiled by behavior, how they're using media or technology. But the first cut is actually benefits sought. Now, it could be a mixture of those as to what the first cut is, but I'm just giving you one example. If we now look at business to segmentation in business to business markets, it's slightly different in the sense that the buyer is not an individual but a company, and usually in an organization the buyer, the organization might have a decision making unit, multiple people making the decisions. So typically we would look at organizational criteria such as the size of the firm, the age of the firm, what industry it's in, so-called sector verticals, the healthcare industry or the education industry or the information and communication technology industry or whatever. We might look at the type of company or the role. And those criteria for segmentation, those bases, if you like, size, age, industry, type of firm, are called firmographic criteria. We might have economic criteria, what revenue the firm has. So we might break companies up in the marketplace based on the revenue or the turnover. We might break them up based on the profit, or equally, we might break them up based on the budget. So that's often a good way of breaking up companies based on their budget. So if you were selling, let's say you're a fleet car sales company, and you were looking to sell to lease fleets of cars to different companies, then of course, if a company has, let's say it's a local authority, it might have a relatively limited budget. If it's a police force, it might have a bigger budget. And if it's a very large firm, let's say a multinational pharmaceutical company, for its sales reps might have an even bigger requirement, if you like, for fleet car sales. So you could segment based on budget. And you could also segment based on geography, local, national, multinational or global needs, if you wish. And you can also segment based on criteria for why people need the particular proposition that they are buying. Moving on, let's think about targeting. Once we determine what our segmentation base is, we need to work out whether our markets, the specific segments that we're looking at, are distinct. So when we divide up markets, the segments should be distinct, accessible, measurable, and profitable. So each segment should be mutually exclusive from the other segments. It shouldn't be possible to place a customer into more than one segment at any one time. If you can do that, then they're not proper segments. They're probably more consumer types. We also need to be able to get access to those particular segments through promotional programs or distribution channels. And we need to generate a profit. So it may be that you identify a segment, maybe a niche segment, but it's not very profitable, or it's got a massive amount of competition in it. In other words, it's not worth going into that segment because it's not profitable. So once we have different segments, we can determine how attractive specific segments are through different criteria. We can look at growth of that segment, the profitability of that segment, the absolute size of it, whether there's a lot of competition in that segment, or perhaps how cyclical the business is. We might rate that on a score of 0 to 10, where 7 to 10 is high, 4 to 6 is medium, 0 to 3 is low. And once we've done that, we can then weight each segment, segment 1, segment 2, segment 3, and so on, for example, to see which segment is the most attractive. And that's quite a systematic, useful way of determining for managers which segments they might operate in. We could speak of different types of targeting approach. We can have an undifferentiated approach, where really there's no delineation between market segments and the whole market is viewed as one mass market. And that's what a lot of firms do, attack the whole market without really trying to understand who the customers are. And that's really an undifferentiated approach. We might use a differentiated approach, and that's where several market segments are targeted, each being attractive to the marketing organization. A marketing strategy is usually developed for each segment. So Hewlett-Packard developed its product range and marketing strategy to target the user segments of the computing equipment market. They were home office users, small and medium-sized businesses, large businesses, and health, education, and government departments. You might use concentrated or niche marketing strategy, where only a few market segments, or maybe even only one, is adopted. One segment is adopted by a firm, and they use their limited resources to really focus on that particular niche market. An old example is the UK's Cooperative Bank, which targeted customers, consumers in the banking market with ethical lending, and of course that's been discredited recently and sold. But the point is that but it certainly used that particular approach for quite a long time. A customized targeting strategy is also possible. You develop that for each customer rather than each segment. And so that approach predominates in B2B markets or consumer markets, where there's a high value, highly customized product. And you can customize your offering for each customer, and it's profitable to do so. There are limitations to segmentation. Sometimes it's a useful process to for organisations to divide customers into distinct segments, but it has been criticised. It's been criticised because it approximates offerings to customers' needs rather than to groups of customers, rather than individuals, if you think about it. And sometimes it's regarded as difficult to combine with customer relationship marketing processes, which do allow more customized approaches for individual customers. But I don't think the two are insurmountable, but sometimes it's brought up as a problematic area. There may be insufficient consideration of how market segmentation is linked to competitive advantage. I think that's often the case. So the targeting strategy is absolutely fundamental, the T in the STP component. And sometimes it's unclear how valuable segmentation is. A key criticism of segmentation is that it's actually quite expensive to undertake, and you can undertake it at different levels, maybe at the product level or the strategic business unit level or the whole firm level. And at a whole firm level, of course, it can be hugely expensive. And they can also change. Segments' needs can change. So you might do a segmentation exercise 1 year, and if it's a highly changing market, that the segment needs might have changed within a year or two, and if you don't then do a follow-up research exercise, you could be operating on the basis of historic knowledge, and of course that's when segmentation starts to fail. So once you've segmented and then decided which segments to target, the process is one of positioning, and positioning is about understanding how to go about placing a positive image of your product in the mind of the prospect. You can do different forms of positioning. You can position on functional attributes like product features or price quality or how the product should be used. Or you can position on expressive features such as the user and identifying the particular target user, for example, or the benefits that can be used generated for using the product, or the heritage of the product. So those are examples of how to go about positioning a particular proposition. Typically, if you're having to go about repositioning a product, then you would change the tangible attributes and try and communicate the new proposition to the same market. Or you might change the way in which a proposition is communicated to the original market. Or you might change the target market and deliver the same proposition, or change both the proposition and the target market. But that's very, very difficult to do. So sometimes you've got the right position in the marketplace. You're very happy with what customers think about you. But sometimes they don't perceive you in the way that you want to be perceived. And when that happens, you have to go through a repositioning exercise. And those four ways that I've just mentioned are the best ways of ensuring that you can reposition your product accordingly.